was too shy. Too square.
You don't even know how to have fun.
Too stiff.
You're a pretty good dancer.
I was terrible.
Yeah, you were terrible.
Until she met someone.
I'd have to teach you everything.
Who turned her life around.
The new movie Dirty Dancing Havana Nights has an NPR twist that may surprise some of our listeners. And here to tell us about it is Peter Sagal, the host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And he's with us from our bureau in Chicago. Peter, always good to have you on our program.
Always good to be here.
You provided, as I understand it, the creative spark that gave this movie life.
Not only that, Neil, but I wrote and performed the voiceover for that trailer. I just want to let everyone know.
And you were great on the drums.
Thank you. I did the music as well. I also designed the gowns seen in the film. I'm sort of a hyphenate. No, all that is untrue. What is true is that years ago, even before I joined this wonderful band of brothers known as National Public Radio, I was a screenwriter and a playwright, and I was hired by a producer named Lawrence Bender to write a screenplay based on the life of an associate of his, this woman named Joanne Jansen, mm-hmm. who was a producer on the current film, moved to Cuba when she was but 15 years old. Her father was transferred there by his company, and she was there during the climax of the Cuban Revolution. So based on that little nugget of historical fact, I wrote a screenplay that involved a young girl, a Cuban boy, background of politics.
And all based on a true story.
Based on a true story. In fact, people have noticed when they go and see the movie out in the theaters, it says, you know, based on true events. And the somewhat snarky reviews have said, what? You mean there really was a Cuba? No, I say to them. There really was a young girl who at the age of 15 moved, or in the movie it's now 18 because, you know, it's after Janet Jackson, I think they had to upgrade the age. Anyway, and so I wrote this screenplay, and it took quite a while, and there was a lot of politics in my version. I wrote a lot about the revolution. I involved a lot of historical events. But even then, the producers were like, well, you know, today's audience really doesn't want to see a lot of politics and, you know, an elaborate discussion of the flaws of the Batista regime. They want sort of dancing and sexy fun. And I tried to provide that. I will say, and, you know, I have a clear-eyed view of my talents, dancing and sexy fun and the love life of a young adolescent girl, not my specialties as an artist.
And so you pocketed the millions that you got paid to the script and moved along.
Actually, oddly, and as you may or may not know, those million-dollar fees you read about are notable because they're at least as far as my experience, quite rare. I was paid Writers Guild minimum for this, which I have no complaints about. It was a lot of money for me at the time. It probably would be today. The best advantage of this was that Writers Guild health insurance, by the way, which you get when you're an employed writer in Hollywood, is terrific, and it paid for the birth of my daughter. So my Hollywood perk is my daughter Rose, basically.
Well, if the only good product of this was your daughter, I think the film that has opened on screens everywhere has done some good. She's a wonderful girl.
She's a charming young lady.
How did this script turn into Dirty Dancing?
Well, now, this is all hearsay, I have to say, because as is often the case in Hollywood, once a writer leaves a project, they don't feel any particular need to keep him or her apprised. So I eventually got the news. But what eventually happened was, for years they've been trying to put together a sequel to Dirty Dancing, the big hit movie with Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey from the mid-'80s. And a sequel to that movie is hard because, in my view anyway, the charm of that film is that you know that these two people are never going to see each other again, mm-hmm. that Baby's going to go and be a lawyer or whatever, and Patrick Swayze is going to go on continually harassing, you know, visitors to the camp, whatever it is. But they couldn't figure out how to do it. It was obviously a cash cow. And some years ago, Miramax hired Lawrence Bender, same producer, said, we want you to make Dirty Dancing 2. We have the rights. And they presented him with a script, and he felt that the script was terrible and didn't know what to do. And some genius, unrecognized by history, said to Lawrence Bender, you know, you have this Cuba script that you paid for sitting on the shelf here. Why don't you take out the politics, most of them, and put in a lot of dancing, and you'd have Dirty Dancing.
If you want to go to the movie, bring a magnifying glass, and you can find Peter Sagal's name on the poster.
Yes, there it is in that tiny little narrow type you get in movie posters. I'm so proud.
Peter Sagal is the host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on many of these National Public Radio stations. He joined us from our bureau in Chicago, and thanks very much, Peter. Congratulations.
And thank you. And remember, dance the dirty dance, Neil.
In Washington, where I dance however I please, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.